John Williams here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. A lot of Thursdays, sometimes Mondays. We talk to Tom Gimbel. There he is again, the job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network. How have you been, Tom?
I've been great, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I see this article here, want to be respected at work, do these three things. Now, this is a CNBC article or column. Now, do you agree generally with what these suggestions are?
Yeah, listen, you gotta work hard and you gotta give in and you gotta invest time in order to be respected. And I think that somewhere along the lines the pyramid got tipped upside down where people think, well, you know, if you're hiring me, I should have respect right away. And there's a difference. You should be treated with respect right away, but you don't necessarily get respected as a professional right away until you show what you're capable of doing.
Well, we'll look at some of these suggestions, but I've thought that the way to get respect at work is to just do a good job. You know, you don't have to come up with schemes or tactics or ideas. If you're a positive person and do your job as well as you can do it, that's the recipe. What am I missing there, Tom?
Well, listen, I can cook a steak for you and they can cook one at Gibson's and I can serve it to you on a paper plate and they can serve it the way they do it. And my guess is you're going to enjoy their delivery a little bit more than mine.
Yeah, all right. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but let's take a look at this list then. It says here, be generous with your time and knowledge. I'll read them. You comment on them. Ready? Be generous with your time and knowledge.
So a lot of people come in and they go, I have a job to do and I'm going to get measured, like you said, John, by the quality of work. Well, guess what? That's great. But if you're not generous with your time for others and willing to help them do it, even if it adds a little bit more time to your day, your week, your month, then you're not really a team player. You say you are, but you're not really. So you got to be willing to help others.
It's funny because this is all under the umbrella of give. The other two categories are resist and exude. Under give, they say offer praise and credit liberally. You agree?
Yeah, it's important to, right, take the blame, right, own it. When you win, give the credit. It's called humility, and it goes so far in building a team and showing what you're all about. When you go and always want the pats on the back for yourself, you're not really creating a collaborative environment.
I get that. And, you know, where I was saying just do your job and that's enough, but you do need to be proactive or more thoughtful. And I think sharing the credit is a wonderful strategy, like you said.
Well, and John, a lot of people pout when they don't get the credit. And the answer, you know, number one, managers have a lot of things usually under their guys. And so they have to look at and say, okay, who did I give credit to this time? Who do I not think needs it now? Who am I going to give it to in the future? And you got to manage your team the same way. And so you might not have a standing ovation every time you just simply get a project done. And you can't live in a world of jealousy over who's getting credit. You have to realize I'm here for the long haul and it'll come my way.
Resist taking credit. Resist gossip. Resist getting pulled into negativity. What jumps out at you there?
The biggest one is resist the negativity. Don't be an eye roller. You've got to realize that when everybody starts complaining about a manager, a coworker, sometimes you got to exit stage left or be the person that sits there in silence and eat your sandwich, your salad, have your coffee, and don't say anything. Sometimes you gain. Now, my dad used to always say to me, God gave you two ears and one mouth so you can listen twice as much as you talk.
Exude professionalism, transparency, authenticity, and accountability with compassion. What jumps out at you there?
Well, the one thing I'd say to you, John, I read this or somebody said it to me once years ago, and they said, just be yourself really only applies to about 10% of the population. And that always makes me laugh. So you got to be fairly careful of true authenticity, because not everybody wants to hear how bad your date was last night or that you're having stomach problems today. So there's certain levels, and how you come into a new job versus having been there for 10 years, there's a lot of different spices that go into the recipe of how to have career success at an employer. And depending on how long and what level, is how you've got to do it. But you got to use judgment. But the one word, the one adjective that I think wasn't in there is enthusiasm. You should really be enthusiastic about the work you're doing, because A, that's contagious. B, people want to be around it. And C, if you're excited about what you're doing, you're going to more often than not do it better.
Tom Gimbel, the job expert, the founder of the LaSalle Network. Attaboy, Tom, nice to talk to you. Thanks for your ideas. Bree Fowler's here. She's the senior writer at CNET, and she joins us just about every week now on FTC subscriptions. What are you talking about there, Bree?
Well, the FTC is adopting rules that will require businesses to make it easier for you and me to cancel those unwanted subscriptions and memberships. I mean, we've all had that before where we're, you know, okay, we're going to do the free trial, or, you know, you're deciding you want to cut the cord or get rid of extra services, and they just make it so hard to cancel.
I get text messages still from companies I thought I had unsubscribed from. I don't know that that's the same thing, but I can't seem to unsubscribe from them.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, and they keep your personal info and your contact info because they want you to re-sign up again. But, you know, when I was switching from cable to Fios, I had the hardest time trying to just cancel my cable because they hide that number or that email or that option on the website and make it so hard. And that's what the FTC is cracking down on. They want consumers to be able to just cancel and unsubscribe if that's what they want.
It's funny, though, that the government, I mean, you know, in theory, the marketplace determines what's the best program, and then people gravitate to that. Here's the government telling businesses how to run their business. I don't think anybody's complaining about this, though. Will this happen automatically? Like, what companies will subscribe to this notion? How will it appear? What's going to happen?
This is dealing most with subscriptions and, you know, things that you get billed for monthly. And businesses are going to have to disclose when free trials and promotional offers end, because we've all had that happen where we sign up for something and it's super cheap at first, and then all of a sudden you get this astronomical bill. It's more about giving consumers information and giving them the power to make those kinds of decisions. It's not really a free market if people can't find a way to stop paying for something.
So will the interface with these companies change then? Is there going to be a new button on the app or something like that?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that, you know, they're going to have to make it easy to find on the website. Now, I mean, obviously, this is kind of a relative term. And, you know, you could argue, well, you know, you should have just gone here or whatever. You could have called our toll-free number. But I think this is one of those situations where if enough people complain to the FTC about a company, they'll actually be able to take action now.
Talk to me about the Biden administration providing $750 million or as much as that for a North Carolina-based company. What do they do and why there?
Well, the company is called Wolfspeed, and they are starting a new silicon carbide factory in North Carolina. It makes the wafers that are used in advanced computer chips, and it's also some of the money is going to go to a factory in New York. And what those silicon carbide does is it allows the computer chips used in electrical vehicles and other advanced technologies become more efficient. And this is all part of the CHIPS Act and the funding that the government has set aside to get more microchip and silicon production back in the United States, you know, jumpstarting jobs, but also, you know, insulating us from possible shortages from overseas suppliers who right now make most of the chips in the world.
So $750 million in direct funding to Wolfspeed, which is in North Carolina. I wonder if they have subsidiaries in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona.
I'm not sure about that, but this is supposed to create an estimated 2,000 manufacturing jobs. And they're also getting more investment from you know, private investors, and also a $1 billion manufacturing tax credit. So the company will have access to, in total, about $2.5 billion.
Well, the manufacture of chips and the allied industries are a as I understand it, really difficult to do. Those factories are hard to build. It's, I don't know, science or technology or manufacturing that isn't as easy as throwing up an auto plant. Is that your read on it too?
Yeah, definitely. These are not car parts. You need to assemble chips. You need a skilled workforce. Not that auto workers aren't skilled as well, but clean rooms, you know, these are teeny tiny little things. You can't have dust get into them, things like that. Building them is a huge investment, and also training a workforce. But, you know, once people have those skills and those jobs, it could have a really positive impact on the local economies.
Read about this and more at CNET.com, where Bree Fowler is a senior writer. Always good to hear you, Bree. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
John Manchester is here, the CEO and owner of WindyCitySuites.com is their website. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me today. Glad to be here.
How's business?
It's fantastic. We've got a busy fall. Fall is our busiest time. We've got our great fall flavors with fudge, with chocolate. We have our caramel apples, which is very healthy. I heard you like apples, so
yes,
I brought some apples. It's covered with a little bit of caramel and a little bit of chocolate.
A little bit.
But no, we're getting ready to boom with the holiday season, and then we go right into Christmas.
Oh, really? So what you do, and by the way, the address of your place, you're on Broadway, right?
That's correct, 3308 North Broadway.
So it's the cross street there, north of Belmont.
Yep, just north of Belmont.
Right, got it. And how long have you guys been over there?
We've been there in March. It'll be 42 years.
What's your signature suite or product? What do people know you for?
Our s'mores are our most popular. That's the main reason why we bought the store was my wife went in, ate the s'more and said, this is it.
This.
I got to have this.
And a lot of people then get another s'more. You bought the s'more store. You bought the company.
Happy wife, happy life. That's what they say.
So, but then you've expanded. It's not just graham crackers, marshmallows, and chocolate. I mean, what else do you guys sell or serve there? You're not a candy store per se, are you?
We are. We've got general line candy, but we also do gourmet chocolates. We make about 80% of our chocolates that are in our main case there. We make our own fudge. We do, like I said, the caramel apples. We do seasonal fudges. Right now, we've got pumpkin and pumpkin pecan. It just tastes like pumpkin pie or pumpkin bread.
Those are your fudges.
That's correct. And then we also do just kind of other gourmet chocolates that we come up with. We got chocolate-covered bacon, a bunch of other sweets.
Describe the bear claws you brought in.
So with the bears, the popularity, we've always had them. But it's a big, thick layer of caramel covered with nuts and then chocolate on top. And then we've actually got them branded this year with Bears logos. We have Bears helmets and Bears footballs that go with it.
And you have the claw of the bear, so it's not just the ball. I mean, what are the nuts you're using in there?
So we have pecans and cashews, and we form some of them to make it look just like a claw or a paw
of
a bear.
Right, so it's a hearty treat. It's a big cluster, and then it looks like the bear actual rawr, claw all there with the logo on top. If you were having a football party, this would be the thing to bring.
Definitely.
You do a big chocolate football too.
We do. We have a full size, we have a mold for a full size football. And then we take.
How much chocolate is that?
It's anywhere about 2.5 pounds to maybe even 3 pounds of chocolate.
Yeah, you need that.
It's a great centerpiece.
No kidding. I mean, I've been to a Super Bowl party before. And, you know, you bring whatever you bring. But if I walked in with that, I think they would carry me off on their shoulders.
Definitely. Under your arm, you could spike it and break it open and start chewing on it and feed the whole gang.
In general, how is business these days? You said this is a busy time of year for you. And I would imagine Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, football season, folks inside, this would be a nice time for your product line. Maybe all the way up until Valentine's Day, huh?
I agree. It just one hit after the other. We do Halloween chocolates. We also have some chocolate turkeys, molded turkeys. And then you get into the Christmas. We've got the Santas. We've got a full-size Santa. We have a Christmas tree. We also have Hanukkah chocolates.
Made out of chocolate, all of these items?
All of chocolate and different flavors, too. We do white milk and dark chocolate.
And has 2024 been as good as 2023 or 2022? What have the last couple of years been like for you?
We've been ramping up pretty good. I think COVID took out a lot of different candy stores and chocolate shops across the country. And this year, we were actually one of 59 companies that were in the Oscar swag bag. So the nominee bag. So
what did you put in there?
We had the our bear paws were in there. We had licorice. We've got licorice that come all over the globe.
That's
and then
right.
We did our Manchester's Old English Toffee, which is a family recipe.
Well, you've talked about both of those other two items before. Talk about the licorice for a second.
Our licorice, we get it from all over the globe. We have some from America. We got a lot from Denmark. And then we also get it from Australia. In addition to licorice, American licorice is red, which is usually strawberry or maybe even a little bit of cherry. But traditional is black. And black licorice, it's some of it's sweet and soft. Others are sweet and hard, where you have to suck on it or chew on it. Then there's a lightly salted and a heavy salted. So there's different kinds of licorice. I think there's 35 or 38 different types that we have in our store right now.
I would have never guessed. It's interesting that the flavors from around the world are sort of put into these licorice, and you've got them in your store. That sounds. I'd like to try those. And then the toffee, you said, the English toffee. Can you talk about that?
The English toffee is actually a recipe from my great-grandmother that she made for the family and friends and neighbors around the Christmas holidays, and happened to find it in one of my mom's old recipe books or boxes, and kind of scribbled with ink or pencil. You could barely read it. And my dad would talk about it. And so we took it, and when we had got the store, we started making it, and we tweaked it just a little bit, but not much. And it is a big seller.
Are your cost of supplies higher than they used to be?
Yes, significantly.
Sugar, I guess we're talking about, or cocoa or chocolate?
Everything has been up. Chocolate went up probably about 4 or 5 times, has come down a little bit.
What do you mean, 4X or 5X?
4X, 5X.
Really?
Yes.
I have noticed that just at a retail store, a Snicker bar or something like that, we all have heard of shrinkflation, but I was really surprised. I actually put a treat back recently because I thought, I can't pay $2 for that small little candy bar there. And I guess it's just a reflection of what you're talking about, huh?
That's correct. And then you also have just the shipping cost to get it from A to B. So when we bring our chocolate in, there's a significant increase in price in that. And we've been trying to buy, instead of like 500 pounds or 600 pounds at a time, we've been trying to buy 1,200 pounds to 1,500 pounds at a time just to try and save a little bit on shipping.
You're almost like a commodities trader. You got to buy when the price is low. Do you do that? Do you say, hey, does the price fluctuate on those items much?
Not right now. Yeah. It just keeps going up. So the more you buy right now,
at least you get the volume discount, huh?
That's correct.
Wow. And then how many employees? Are you just a small family operation? How do you all work?
It is a small family operation. We're very local. Plus, we're also very regional and across the country. But we have about 12 different employees.
One last thing. Just talk about the cookies, the stamped cookies. You have one that has my face on there. You've got a Trump cookie, a Harris cookie. What are those?
So we are the official, unofficial presidential cookie campaign. So we're selling these cookies, and each cookie is a vote. So you actually vote with your taste buds. And we've been selling Harris cookies and Trump cookies. And so when you come in, that's one vote. And we've had several people that have bought them and sent them out to friends.
You get to vote more than once in this case. What is the tally so far? Are you keeping track?
We are keeping track. I don't know if we should be able to tell or not, but I know in Chicago the slogan is vote early and vote often.
Well,
so
I would guess near Boys Town in Chicago, the blue cookies are selling more than the red cookies.
You are very accurate with that.
We'll leave it at that. Okay, so if I wanted to, do you have an online presence? Can we click on your store?
Please do. We're at WindyCitySweets.com. In those cookies, you can have them personalized for your own event, whether it's a birthday party, anniversary, or even like corporate logos and things like that.
John Manchester is the CEO and owner of Windy City Sweets. Stay well and come by anytime, John.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
With a plate of cookies like that, you're invited here anytime you want. More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Northfield-based Medline will use artificial intelligence to improve the resiliency of the healthcare supply chain. The company's announced a partnership with Microsoft and will use a new tool called Empower. According to Cranes, it'll analyze customer and supplier data to make complicated inventory management more manageable and predictive. The partnership comes at a time when the medical supply chain has been stressed by recent hurricanes and resulting shortages. Medline says Empower will smooth out bumps in supply chain and inventory management while lowering costs for customers. Deere & Company has announced a new round of layoffs as demand for farm equipment slows. 300 workers in Illinois and Iowa will be laid off, including about 200 production workers in East Moline. 7 workers will be cut from the company's headquarters in Moline, and 80 workers will be laid off in Davenport, Iowa. Deere slashed its annual earnings outlook in May. The company announced layoffs earlier this year as well. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
This is the Business of Food, and Steve Alexander.
Mm-hmm. And remember what the weather was like last winter?
As you recall, there was no winter to speak of for the Midwest. Very little snow and incredibly mild pretty much all the way through. Just a few blips of cold air.
And USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that happened because we were in an El Nino pattern. But El Nino faded away earlier this year, and
now since then, we have seen indications that we could see the return of La Nina for the fourth time in 5 years.
Which means we are going to have what kind of winter in northern Illinois? Well, the talented Mr. Rippey will tell us after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, El Nino seems to be on the way out, and La Nina seems to be coming in, which means our winter weather will be colder and wetter?
Yeah, the one thing I would be cautious about is that sometimes during these La Nina winters, if it does materialize, is that we can see episodic significant cold outbreaks. And I'll point everyone back to the early part of 2021 in the midst of a La Nina when we had that epic cold outbreak that drove deep into Texas and caused all the problems with the power outages there. That kind of thing can happen. But again, you can't really forecast an episodic event like that months ahead of time, but it is something to be cautious of because the jet stream during La Nina tends to get in a configuration that can favor that type of outbreak. So even if it turns out to be an average or above average winter on temperature, beware of those episodic cold outbreaks. And certainly a wetter winter is in the offing, we think, for the Midwest. And that could translate into some significant snowfall if we get that proper mix of cold air and wetter conditions.
The key word there being if.
Right, and also that answer gives me an escape outlet if things don't play out like we expect.
There you go. Brad Rippey, USDA meteorologist. On the food calendar, it's National Pasta Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food and the weather for growing it on 720 WGN.
Carrie Demergen-Huss is a senior vice president at TCCI Manufacturing. It's a company in Decatur we have talked with before. This time, though, on because they were part of that trade mission to Japan that the governor led. Carrie, you're back on WGN. How are you?
John, I'm great. It's great to be back again. I hate following 35 kinds of licorice and cookies with your face on it. So that sounds super delicious.
Maybe you could send over an air compressor with my face on it.
Okay, that's right. That's right.
Because you guys are, I'm just reading now, the leading global air conditioning compressor manufacturer headquartered in Decatur, right?
That's right. We have a $45 million public-private partnership going on with the state of Illinois, Richland Community College, and the city of Decatur, where we're bringing an EV innovation hub to market that will have under one roof electric compressor made in America components, as well as a state-of-the-art climatic center for innovation and research where we can test against climatic conditions for electric vehicles. And then an EV and Energy Workforce Academy with the Richland Community College Center embedded inside of our facility with immersive hands-on learning.
Wow.
So really excited. Coming online here just in a few weeks, actually.
In Decatur. I want to talk about the trade mission to Japan, but real quick, are
yes.
you still optimistic about the EV or electric market?
I am. We are seeing, you know, particularly in the heavy duty trucking, same day delivery and transport refrigeration markets, strong movement in electrification. You know, that being said, we have $1.7 billion to as we look to transition to this global energy initiative. So, you know, that's a lot of work that still has to be done.
When you all, there's 40 people with the governor going to Japan. When you get there, what do you do? Who do you talk to? How productive is that? Just give me a for instance. You know,
yeah, first of all, it's critically important that we do these. The state of Illinois has a very clear vision. We are leaders in quantum and microelectronics, the bioeconomy and clean energy and electrification and advanced manufacturing. And that's really our focus when we go. I've been fortunate to go on not only this one in Japan, but also the one in London. And there were over 40 delegates, people like the CEOs at ComEd, Nicor Gas, People's Gas, and senior executives from PSI Quantum, ISIN, JLL, Clayco, all of us investing our own dollars to support Illinois and become, you know, even a bigger powerhouse in the global economy. Japan is a top five foreign investor in Illinois, and there's a lot that happens. I mean, we had an opportunity to sit at the U.S. Embassy with our former mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who's now the ambassador of Japan, and really better understand, you know, we've had 150 years of connection, really looking at the focus of our economic partnerships. You know, Japan is making heavy investments in biofuels and ag. Illinois in itself has rich resources. And so really getting a better connectivity there. And then we each had our own individual itineraries, John. So like I went on a clean energy roundtable. I also went to Yaswaka and Panasonic, all really key leaders in the clean energy and electrification area.
Are you trying to sell them? But when you do that, are you then sitting down with somebody who would buy your products, or are you asking them to manufacture something for you? What's the trade?
We're actually ambassadors on behalf of Illinois, selling Illinois. So it's business leaders talking to other businesses in Japan about investing in Illinois. So very productive for Illinois. You know, we have so many companies that are already in Illinois. I mean, we're talking 450 Japanese companies in Illinois with 1,639 locations. And many of these are looking at U.S. global localization. So looking to expand their already existing footprint in Illinois. And we want to make sure that Illinois is where they choose to do their expansions. Just like that announcement that we announced on SysMex just recently with the expansion of 100 jobs and a $20 million investment in the life sciences arena. That all was announced in Japan. That's a Japan company in Illinois. And
did
so
you get
there
a,
was a lot of that.
Did you get a good feeling about this? Is there interest in, or do they know about us, and are they interested in investing in Illinois more?
I think that's a great question. It's hard for me to believe that we haven't been there or in any countries like the governor has us going in over 40 years. You know, it's our job to tell our story about Illinois and make sure we're at the forefront so that when they are making decisions, we're in the running for those locations. Illinois has a huge amount of resources, as we know, and is a leader and should be the chosen location for these companies. And it was a great experience, and I think we really had some great traction there in Japan.
So you're laying seeds. That is, if somebody's going to expand or open up a new plant, and what do they know about the United States? They say, well, there was 40 people here from Illinois. We will at least be on their thought list, huh?
Yes, and it's a strategic decision to go to Japan. Like I said, you know, they're already a top five foreign investor in Illinois. There's $10.68 billion in bilateral trade between Illinois and Japan already. You know, this is a key country for us, a key opportunity for us to grow our economy and our partnership with Japan and other countries. And this isn't the last one that we're going to do. There'll be more to come.
I'm glad you were on that trip, and I'm glad the trip was made. Carrie Demergen Huss is a senior vice president at TCCI Manufacturing in Decatur. Carrie, come on anytime. It's always good to talk to you.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks, John, for having me.